I thought I would never, ever see the finish line. The elevation, I think out and back, up and around, I think you said it was about 7,400 feet elevation. I'm like, do planes fly that high? And the drop-offs and the vertical and the switchbacks, you know, all of this is new to me. And I'm out there by myself. It was hot. It was like 90-something degrees out there. It was just awful. But, of course, I came back for more. Okay, you survived this. So, you know, then I start looking for other trail races. And it's just a different experience than running on the road. You have to worry about getting hit by a car, maybe eaten by a bear, but not hit by a car.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. And this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk Podcast and Facebook Live. This is Eric with the Ultramarathon Mindset. We help you to link your body and your mind together for ultimate performance and peak performance and ultimate health. There, I got it right. My guest tonight is Isla Allen. I just met Isla face to face for the first time. I've seen her on Facebook, and from her Facebook posts, I thought she is somebody I would like to talk to just to get to know better. And so I am going to bring her on here and welcome Isla to the show.
Hi. I have
seen you in a lot of running groups in Facebook. I don't. So I guess how many running groups are you a member of? Do you know? I don't know how many I am either. So I don't know if that's a fair question, because
I'm in a lot of them, but there are only a few that I consistently say post in.
Okay.
That I have a lot of interaction in. So I think on a daily basis when I post, it's about seven of them that I'm always hitting.
Okay. So. I think I'm a member of more than seven, but I saw you in some of the seven that you're on. So anyway, welcome to Trail Talk Live. I appreciate
this.
I said for the people who are maybe tuning in new and haven't been to this forum before, this is a place where we take a virtual trail run together, and the kinds of conversations that we trail runners have among ourselves, we kind of bring that to Facebook and to the podcast, and just have a casual conversation. And what we say on the trail oftentimes kind of takes twists and turns. We never know where the conversation will end, but we always enjoy spending time together. So that's what the spirit of this show is about. And so, anyway, Isla, I'm sorry. I've had your name. I haven't heard you say your name until like today. And I've mispronounced it in my head like for months. And so if I slip and say it wrong, I apologize.
No, but it's Isla.
It's Isla. So Isla, give us a little background about who you are and just kind of, introduce yourself as you would to anybody. We'll talk about running a little bit later, but just who are you and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a native Chicagoan, born and raised here all my life. I took a little exit and I lived in California for about 9 years and came back, but I've been here ever since. I currently reside in the Chicagoland area, about a half hour north of the city, and I work like everybody else. I'm single, no kids. Yay! No offense, guys. I'm way too old for those. Okay, and I love things don't happen on order sometimes with your life, but when they do, it starts lining up. So you just take it as it goes, and you kind of roll with it. I love music, jazz, reggae, funk, country, blues. I'm a more or less what people would call a master seamstress. So I sew. I have my own business.
Wow, I'm a bag maker.
And I know in my spare time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I work for a major research university here in Illinois as well. So I'm pretty much, you know, I'm just an everyday run-of-the-mill girl.
And so the other thing, just as what I say is how did you get started running? Tell me a little bit about, cause I know you say on your Facebook page, you have run an ultra marathon and you run trails. So how did you get started in running and,
well,
where did that begin for you?
Running, didn't ever think I'd ever see myself doing it. I was working on my doctorate. And between working full-time on my doctorate, full-time at work, and then I was also teaching part-time too. And so I had like these three jobs going on and the stress level was just awful. And my brother suggested, you know, why don't you run? And I'm like, where? Why? And I decided I needed to move the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to my gym and, you know, got on the treadmill. And I said, oh God, this is just awful. And because I was overdressed, not prepared, wrong shoes, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the effort. And I was 54 when I started.
Okay. And you hadn't run before at all?
Never.
Any kind of sports or?
No. Yeah, I came into mouth, okay. I was real good at that.
Uh-huh.
Called the refrigerator series, okay.
Right, okay.
Now I love watching them, but as far as being a participant, no.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I started liking running. And since I'm a researcher by nature, I started researching running. And I've always been an Olympic junkie. I'm like, well, I know I'm not going that fast. Okay. Put that to the side. And, but I start learning about 5Ks and 10Ks. I'm like, what is the K for? You know, is it 5 miles? And find out it's only really 3.1. I'm like, I might be able to do that. And so I trained myself. I used a Couch to 5K program on my iPhone,
mm-hmm.
followed it every day. And I entered a race and, you know, the rest is history. I parlayed into that. I think I ran almost every race here in Chicago.
Wow.
I got hooked. You know, if it was to be ran on a Saturday, I'm there. And then after you go through the circuit, I don't like running in the city. It's too crowded, too congested.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I end up finding out about this ultra running, because I had to do.
So you had run the marathon in Chicago as well.
Mm-hmm. I did Chicago in 2013 and 2017.
Okay.
I did 2013 because my brother did it in 2012, and I volunteered with my running club, which is Evanston Running Club.
Okay.
And you know, I drank that Kool-Aid, right? You get all.
Yeah, you get around people who are running, and yeah, it's like that seems normal.
So I told my friends, "Come on, we got to do the marathon," or like, what are you smoking? Okay. But I convinced them and they listened to me.
Okay.
So you were the one
instigating it. It wasn't them dragging you. Okay.
No, I was dragging them. Like, again, I'm still on that high as far as running races. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I had my behind handed to me at Chicago. Okay. I'm like, woo. Okay. We can't do this again. But then I was just curious. I'm like, okay, so what could I do to get better? So like I said, I'm a researcher. So I started reading different things, but I had weight on me.
And okay.
So you know when you have, and this, I'm speaking for me, guys, before you slam me, okay? This is all about my body, okay? But when you have too much weight on the body, all your vitals work way hard to carry the bulk that you have on you. So I said, you have to do something mm-hmm. about this. But that went by the wayside. I started running. I found out I love the half marathon. That was my jam. Half marathon was it. Mm-hmm. In and out, bam, you're done. But then I picked up.
So how far did you get on the marathon before you crashed?
I made it to mile 21.
21. Okay. So did you then finish? Did you like walk it in? You finished. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I finished in 2017. I wasn't pretty, but I finished.
Okay. Okay.
And then I happened to come across an issue of Runner's World. And that's when I read an article about a man that was in a car accident, and he was, I guess, a high profile runner. He used to do 8 minute miles or 7 minute miles, but he couldn't hit that 2-something marathon anymore. And a friend of his told him, you know, you ought to come run an ultra. I'm like, what is an ultra? And I kept reading. I'm like, this is insane. And I said, but then it just piqued my interest. And the more I kept digging, the more I kept finding out. And that's when I found out about my first 50K. So I decided, I'm going to do this. So one of my BFFs in Missouri, I told her I wanted to do it. She says, well, if you're crazy enough to do it, I'll train with you and we'll run it together.
So it seemed that the marathon was hard, but so 50K seemed more doable. Why, what was it that led you to think?
Well, I think, you know, once I learned about training, nutrition, proper shoes, clothing, all that has a lot, at least for me, it has a lot to play in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if I could sweat it out for 26.2 and live.
Yeah.
And, you know, I figured, like I said, I was curious and I just wanted to see what this ultra thing was about. So we have a local race here in the city. It's called Chicago 50-50.
Okay.
A miler and a 50K.
Okay. Is this run on roads?
It's run on roads.
Road. Okay.
And it's on the lakefront.
Okay.
And so you have to do a gazillion laps, you know, to make that. It's 5 miles out, 5 miles back.
Okay? Oh, wow. Okay. So it's an out and back course that you have to repeat.
With all the people and the skateboards and the, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I started training for that. And I guess I like the endurance. I love running long.
Mm-hmm.
I do complain about it every now and then, but it's just something about it that just gives me like a solitude, a serenity, my happy place where I can go to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that tied in there, I was diagnosed type 2 diabetic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In 2008.
Okay.
And I was not insulin dependent. I was oral medication.
Okay.
And my doctor says, you have to get the weight off. You have to move your body at least a half an hour, 2 days a week. So I told her I had started running. She kind of like rolled her eyes to the sky. She was like, I've heard that before. And because I'm not a gym rat per se. Once I got a taste of outdoors, that this told me right then and there I needed to be outdoors. And till this day, she still can't believe that I am still running, especially at the mileage that I'm doing now. But one thing just led to another. And then I just kind of like found my people, you know, in the ultra running sector. They are a little different from your road people, at least for me.
Yeah. So the ultra people that you were running with, were they trail runners then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And again, I had not quite learned about trails yet, because when I heard the word trail, I think bugs, rodents, animals. And I'm a city girl.
Mm-hmm.
City girl. I have never spent a day in my life, okay? Ever, even as we speak. I am a glamper, okay?
Okay.
And I need a toilet and I need running water. I'm not going to lie. This is just how that is. Okay? And if I sleep on the ground, it's a 5 minute nap so I can continue running. Okay. And I never had that. Okay. And, but this thing of trail kind of intrigued me. So when I went on my first trail run, I'm like, oh, this is, I mean, we're really on the trail. I'm talking dirt, okay.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm like, well, okay. But it's something I had never been exposed to. And I said, I waited so late in life to learn all these other things that I didn't know were out there with the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I'm sucking it up as much as I can.
So the here in Kansas, when we run there, especially in the summertime, besides having to look out for snakes, we have spider webs that, so do you have that as well? Do you have to deal with the spiders?
Phobia.
Okay.
I will jump across the street from an ant. Okay.
Okay.
And you say snake, let's take it down to a worm. Okay. I will run out in the middle of the street so I don't have to step on a worm.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
So, but I mean, we have spider webs is a big thing, at least this time of year. Is that something you deal with in Chicago, having to clear the spider webs out?
Oh yeah. I live in the basement. Okay. I know spiders. Okay.
So the thing that, the greeting that we have, at least recently is, when we pass someone coming the other way on the trail, we say, I cleared out the spiders for you. So,
wow.
So that's always good to be the second one down the trail, because usually,
and I'm the one that gets all the protein because they're at my level. Okay. So,
so you had to adapt. You had to adapt to some of those bugs. Suzanne says that's why you run with a taller friend is out in front.
Yes.
Doesn't always work though. A lady and I were running together, and she was going to pace me for one of my races, and we'd never run together. So we went out to run, and I was trailing a spider web about 10 feet behind me with a spider on it, and it hit her. So she freaked out. So it was still didn't help.
Didn't work. But, right. That would have been me. Yeah.
But so you adapted. You were able to get past some of that and say, yeah, I'm going to go out on the trail.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm like RoboCop. My head is always looking for the bugs, but I just, you know, it's just, I like, okay, you're going to be out here. You're going to see some stuff. So just be ready. And so I just work through it. You know, okay. We all have fears and everything. So if you want to do something bad enough, you'll find a way.
Yeah. So your first ultra marathon was on the road.
Yes.
And then were there some runners that were running there that also ran trails that got you started on trails?
Quite a few of them. Yeah. One of my friends who ran me in on that particular ultra, he took me on my first trail run, a half miler. And a half marathon. And I signed up for it on the spot. And he looked at me like, oh, you're going to run? I'm like, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. What did I know? All I got to say is I had to go back and talk to Isla at that. If I could go back and talk to her then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm like, I climbed. That elevation was no joke. I'm scared of heights.
Okay. So where was this trail race at?
This was Cry Me a River. So I think that's like 3 hours down south of Chicago.
Okay. I've heard of that one.
It's a huge race for the 100 and 200 miler. It's insane. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in Sterling, Chillicothe. I can't see it right.
Chillicothe?
Pardon me?
Chillicothe?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. You know.
Missouri?
No, Illinois.
Illinois. Okay.
Illinois. And I'm like, when we got there, I'm like, this is Illinois? I'm like, I thought I had been transported to the country or something. I'm like, I didn't know woods even existed like that here in my state. You know, like I said, I'm a city girl. And that was the longest half marathon of my life. I thought I would never, ever see the finish line. The elevation, I think out and back, up and around, I think you said it was about 7,400 feet elevation. I'm like, do planes fly that high? And and the drop offs and the vertical and the switchbacks, you know, all of this is new to me, and I'm out there by myself.
Okay.
And
so this was your first trail race.
Yes.
Okay.
No trekking poles. I didn't even know what a trekking pole was, and it was hot. It was like 90 something degrees out there. It was just awful. But of course, I came back for more.
Yes, of course. That's the story of trail runners.
Okay. You survived this. So, you know, then I start looking for other trail races. And it's just a different experience than running on the road. You have to worry about getting hit by a car, maybe eaten by a bear, but not mm-hmm. hit by a car. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Then did you go for longer distance trail race? I mean, did you do the same thing with trail races as you did with the road races?
Yes, because after I got a taste of that, I decided I wanted to do a 50 miler.
A 50 miler, okay. On trails.
On trails.
Okay.
So my first 50 miler was Pottawatomie.
Okay.
Which is here in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first 50 miler. And this one was even worse than what I did for the half miler.
Oh, really?
This was, it was a 10 mile loop, vertical, a mountain they call Big Bertha. I don't like her. There were two creek crossings. So you had to do that.
You had to do it twice. So your feet never really dried out?
Well, I had on waterproof socks and waterproof shoes.
Wow. Okay.
And my feet were dry as bone. But that race took me forever. We started on Friday at 12 noon, I think it was, and did not finish until Saturday, 8:30 p.m.
So 12... That's a pretty long, yeah, for 50 miles, that's a pretty generous cutoff.
And well, there was a 200 miler going on.
Okay. So you had time. That if for your first 50 miles, that is a good choice to make. My first 50 mile was the same. They had a 100 mile going on. So I mean, I knew I would finish even if I had to walk the last, exactly. You know, the last 20 miles, I knew I could finish it because I had all night, all the next morning.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. I bonked at that race.
Okay.
My nutrition froze on me. I didn't have enough calories. So like I said, I'm type 2 diabetic. So mm-hmm. that wasn't too good. And while we were out there, because we ran straight through the night, we didn't sleep, we didn't stop, we didn't do anything. And it dropped down to like 7 degrees. This was an
7?
Yeah, 7 degrees at night.
Wow.
It was butt kicking cold out there. Okay. And I used to hear people talk about hallucinating on the trail. I'm like, mm-hmm. You do.
So what were your hallucinations?
Everything was sparkly. So okay. I guess that was like the moon shining down on the dew. I thought I saw snakes, which was really a tree limb.
Mm-hmm. Well, and 7 degrees, you know, there's no snakes.
You don't know. So then, no, only the idiots like me were out there running. They were underneath their walk. And then I thought I saw money, like just coins. And I'm like, why are people leaving coins on the trail? And I thought I was following them because they were in front of me because my headlamp was lighting them up. But they were rocks, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's funny when you finish and your brain comes back into your head, you know, you start laughing because you're like, did you see it? And somebody, oh yeah, I saw that too. I'm like, see, I was not the only one out there. Yeah. But that was an experience. But again, I wasn't done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Signed up for another one.
Suzanne asked a question. She says, I run by myself a lot and she wants to do trail running, but she says, how do you feel safe training and being out there?
Okay, with the trail, I don't run alone.
You don't run alone. Okay.
I always have somebody with me. I have somebody with me. I will not do the trails by myself. I've done one, but it was in the daytime and there were other runners out there. But when it's of any significant distance, I try to make sure I have somebody running the race with me. I won't run alone.
Yeah, but in training, she's talking about training.
In training, I start at the crack of dawn. And long as I have somebody, my training is all on pavement. I don't go out to the trails and train. All my training is on a path, on a paved trail. But still, I'm out there early. My girlfriend meets me. And even if she leaves, that's okay, because she leaves in a time where other people are cycling and everything on the path. And I'm okay out there by myself.
Okay.
I wear a safety whistle on my neck. And if the police is not listening, I do have a box cutter that I keep on me just in case. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There, in a lot of the Facebook groups that you and I are both on. In fact, it came up, I saw it today. Someone asking, you know, how do you stay safe on the trail? And it's particularly more of an issue for women. I know that's a pretty, and you know, it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. I mean, there are predators that look for women and they ignore men. Now, men aren't necessarily safe either. I mean, there was a guy in the Kansas City area that was shot and killed on a trail. It was more in the city. It wasn't out in the woods, but it was just, there are things out on the trail that, you know, you're out there in your woods by yourself. But I see a lot of women who run by themselves. I mean, I meet them oftentimes on the trails that I run, I'll meet them. And so I know that, and there are women in my running group that will go out and do the trails by themselves. But I mean, that is where we are at. They know the trails well enough, and it's not, the risk is lower, I think, you never can tell.
So. True. So yeah, when I always make sure I have a running buddy with me, and at least to get me started. And so like this weekend, I have 30 miles coming up to do.
Okay.
And my girlfriend, she only has 10. So by the time she peels off with her 10, it'll be crowded out there. It'll be people on their bikes, people walking. I'm all good with that. Again, yeah. I still do not go unprepared because everybody is a suspect to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. But
my daughter ran with a taser. Yeah. And you know, even me, you know, I carry a knife because that we have, there are, Mrs. Robinson was the original cougar. We have a cougar that has been sighted I talked to a man who actually saw the cougar. I mean, it wasn't this fictitious person that's, you know, the brother of a brother of somebody who might have seen. He says, no, he says, I saw this. But it's not something you see all the time. It's just that we know that there has been a cougar that has been sighted at one time. So it's just like, I don't want to just rely on whatever stick I can find. So I do carry. Suzanne, I am in the KC area. I live in Kansas City, Kansas by the Legends near the racetrack. So
the only thing I see when I'm out, when I'm doing my long runs, are deer.
Yes.
And they're so used to seeing us out there running. They just kind of like, oh, it's only Isla. Oh, it's only so-and-so. They'll stand there and look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see my pictures with them. Trust me, that's what me zooming in, okay?
Yeah.
I am not okay. I don't want to pet them. I don't want to talk to them. I just want to take the photo, and I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. One of the guys in our running group had a deer. He had a collision with a deer on the trail. Foot? Yeah, on foot, yeah. It was a switchback, and so he scared the deer on one switchback, and he ran around and was going the other way, and the deer ran into him. So, but yeah, and I worry about skunks whoever left the comment, I'm not even going to try, but I'll not read your name correctly, but yeah, skunks are another thing, but usually I can smell a skunk. And so, I have seen a fox in the area. I know coyotes are out there. Suzanne says she sees coyotes, but yeah, it's one of those things. I read stories about people who are attacked by dogs or, you know, attacked by some animal. It's like, I carry something with me so that I can, I'm going to put up a fight if something comes after me. So
yeah, pretty much. The only thing I really encounter when I'm on the path over here where I live on the lakefront, a lot of people walk their dogs and mm-hmm. they don't have their dogs on a leash.
Yeah, we run into, we have that problem too.
And you are supposed to leash your dog, that you cannot be anywhere in the city of Evanston without your dog being leashed. And, you know, when people say, oh, she or he won't bother you, well, he won't bother you because you're the owner.
Yeah.
And if you see somebody running by, this dog came charging out of nowhere at me. And I'm like, okay, I guess this is it. And I start yelling, come get your dog, come get your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start blowing my safety whistle that I have. It's a high piercing safety whistle, and it's for mm-hmm. dogs and alert. And it kind of stunned them. And by this time the person came over, oh, I'm so sorry, they never done that before. I said, if you had him on a leash, it would not have happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not an animal person. Dogs are no joke if you get bit by one. Okay. Because there's so many things that have to happen if you are. And so people need to leash their dogs or go somewhere where it's okay to let them roam. You just let me know where that is so I don't run.
Yeah.
In that area. Okay. But yeah.
I passed a woman, it's years ago. I was out just out for a walk, and a woman was coming toward me with her dog. The dog was on a leash, and we were on a sidewalk, and I just kind of moved over a little bit and was passing by, and the dog just attacked me. And I wasn't doing anything that I knew that, but the dog must have sent some sort of threat. I don't know. So if people have a dog, even if they're leashed, I don't run toward the person because, you know, you never know what the dog might think. If you're running toward their owner, it'd be very easy for them to interpret you're a threat. Exactly. So yeah, I always stand aside and tell people, just come on by.
I'll wait. I'll stand, let you pass.
Yeah.
And then I'll continue. I don't want anything to tip that dog off, to piss them off to where they think, again, I'm trying to endanger their owner. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's, you know, people who carry mace for not only human problem, you know, if a human was there, but for dogs as well, just because you never know. That's probably more of a danger than any other kind of wildlife, because most wildlife will either ignore you or run away.
Definitely.
So you did your 50 miler and finished that. So what did you then, after that experience and the hallucinations and everything, decide I'm never doing this again? And when can I sign up?
Right. Exactly. So that October I ran, that was in April. And then that following October, I signed up for another 50 miler. And I'm like, okay. So, okay. This one's flat. Okay.
Well,
I learned that flat is not always good, because I found out, what is it that you use your muscles repetitively over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking I don't have to go like this. Okay.
Right. Yeah. You think without hills, it seems like if you don't have to run hills, it seems like, this is going to be great.
No, that one was like, oh my God, I thought I was going to die. And I'm like, why am I hurting so bad? I didn't run any hills. Well, I heard when you keep using the wheels over and over and over, there's no change in your body, and you're wearing stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, can I get something in between? Not so flat and not so hilly. You know, mm-hmm. it's either or basically here.
So, but you made it through that flat one, right? It just hurt.
I just hurt. Okay. Yeah. I made it through that one, and the weather was pretty decent, so that was okay.
That helps.
So then after I did that, I'm like, wonder if I could do a 100 miler.
Yeah, that's always the next question. that's always.
And I'm
what did your running friends tell you?
Oh, sure. I didn't even think about that. Okay. And especially another ultra runner, you know, I said, do you think I can do 100 miles? Oh yeah, you can train for that. I drank that Kool-Aid And then I signed up for it's a race here called Tunnel Hill. It's in Vienna, Illinois. It's about 6 hours.
Yes. Right? Yes, okay. I've heard that. It's supposed to be a flat one too.
Yes, it is. Okay. But it had a little bit more elevate. I mean, a little bit more humps and bumps. So it wasn't like.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
But it was still flat.
It was still flat. So how much was it enough up and down for you, or?
You know, and I don't want even the ultra gods to hear this. Okay. So don't be listening to me. But maybe just a little bit more. Supposed to keep going like this. It's like going over a speed bump in areas. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Or a little slight incline. So there was really like no heels, as we would know as a heel.
Well, and no roots and rocks to step over necessarily.
Oh, there was plenty of roots and rocks on this one.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
Kind of like a combination of peat gravel. Is that what you call that stuff?
Peat gravel. Yeah. Chat.
And twigs and stuff, and then there was dirt and there was some mud because it had it was cold in the morning and frosty, so by the time the sun came out, that's a nice little slush thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that one didn't turn out too well for me. I took a wrong turn, got lost, and ended up not making one of the cutoffs.
Okay.
I only completed 62 miles of that race.
Okay.
So that's what I'm currently training for now. Gotta go. You know, you gotta go back, right?
Right. Yeah. So you're going back to Tunnel Hill again?
Going back to Tunnel Hill.
Okay.
And they gave me the 50. Well, he said I earned it, the 50 mile buckle, because I did 62 miles. You know?
Right. Uh huh.
And I really didn't want it because I didn't go there for a 50 miler. I went there for 100.
Yeah. So you got 100K is what, you know, Suzanne brought that up. You got 100K. So.
All right, Suzanne. I hear you. But you learn a lot when you run an ultra of any endurance run. At least I think you do. It really takes you to places that you didn't know you could go inside your head. And I really understand when people would say running is mental, and it really is. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have to train, but if your brain tells you you cannot make it, your body will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Your body will definitely follow. And if you get to that spot, that's why it's kind of good to have a buddy, because if you say, hey, I can't, I'm so sick of this. That person, that should be a signal to whoever's running with you. To say, you know, come on, you got this. You know, let's talk about so-and-so. What are you doing next week? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, to get you out of that pit.
Because if you're
in there and you can't get out, that's miserable.
Yes. Yeah.
That's miserable.
So how did you develop that kind of mental toughness? What was, I mean, you kind of had that, I think, just from your, it seems like with the way you signed up for races, you kind of had that already there. But as you ran, did you notice your mental game getting developed as well?
Yes, and it's still developing. I mean, you know, there's some days, as you can see from the post, it's like, I am so sick of this. Or I get to the point where I just like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I get frustrated. But then I have to, just when I think I'm almost jumped over the cliff, I can pull myself back. Because I know the drill. I've learned how not... I learned this from a friend of mine who has taught us to don't precurse your run. Like, oh, I got this long run on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So you already set yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you go there and you have it, I mean, the day is what, Wednesday? And if I start complaining about my run on Saturday and I'm not even there yet, that just sets the tone of how you're going to run or race. So I've just learned, okay, what do I need? Do I have my food ready, my nutrition? Do I got the right clothes ready? You know, I start thinking in my head, do I need to run to the store to get anything? And then when I get up on Saturday, boom, I get up. Okay, let's once I get that first loop done, I'm good. That kind of sets the tone.
Uh-huh.
But
all of a sudden, the... The video just froze. I don't know if you can hear me, but it's kind of faded in and out a couple times, Isla. So it is, nothing is moving there. And
okay,
there you go. Okay. I don't know if you had to reset, but no,
it came back.
It came back. That's good.
So I'm just saying that, you know, you train. I don't think you ever stop learning how to train your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to, you have to know the key signals. You need to know the signs. And I think once you know the signs that you're going down the wrong road up here, that's when you start making that shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you mentioned something else. You talk to yourself too. Mm-hmm. It just of what you said, don't curse your run. I know that's one of the things that I have tried to become more aware of is what do I say to myself? What, you know, the stories, the things that I say to myself about who I am or about whatever the situation is around me, that has a lot. The words I say, you know, are reflective of my thoughts, and, you know, it can make a bad situation worse.
Yep.
Or it can make it so that I'm able to get through a bad situation. And it's kind of the choice that I make in that moment, and learning how to talk to myself in a way that is helpful rather than complaining.
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, those days it was so hot we had here. I mean, I walk out the door, it's already 80 degrees and I got 26 miles to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at it like, or I say, you know what? You got your frozen water in the car. You're doing okay. All you need to do is run this loop and make it back to your car.
Mm-hmm.
Make it to my car. Take a woosah moment. Drink that water. If I need to put on a clean shirt, I do. Not a clean, but a dry shirt. I do. Mm-hmm. So. Drink my water. Eat my boiled potatoes. Check all the gear. And I said, okay, let's get back at it. Because it's, you know, like I said, my car looks really good after about four loops, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can finish this up tomorrow, you know, and like, no, you can't. So you just have to constantly talk. If you're tired, yeah, I know I'm tired. You know, you've been here before. You know, you can do this. You did this week before last. So come on, let's go. And that's, you have to, at least I know I have to keep telling myself that, because if I go down the other road, oh, I'm so tired, you'll buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Your body will start folding into that mold, and you won't finish running.
Yeah, and that's the practice you have to have for being able to finish an ultra, and especially 100 miles. Yeah. I mean, that is like you've gone to the 60 mile mark, and that's about the time when those voices begin telling you you don't have to be out here. You don't have to. You know, the physical hurts, the physical things that happen in your body tend to start working on your mind. And it's just, that's kind of the point past, that's the point where your physical training isn't going to take you any farther. It's the mental part from about 60 miles on, because your physical training for 50 miles and 100 miles is not that much. You don't have to do that much more.
Exactly.
But yeah, the mental part to get you that is, and usually it's dark, you know, and you're seeing coins on the ground and you're seeing stuff. You know? So when you were trying for your 100, did you have hallucinations in that race as well?
No. And that's, you know, like I said, the weather was pretty good, but it was just so dark. I mean, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And I could light up Mars. I had so many lights on, but it was like total darkness. And that is also plays on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you've never been plunged into total darkness. Now running in the dark and you got street lights, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Running out there in the woods with no light.
Right. So did you see lights from other people?
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Just depends.
So you kind of knew that you weren't alone. But there's probably longer stretches when you wouldn't see.
See any? Oh, I had somebody with me. I was not out there by myself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I had somebody with me.
Okay.
And so that was like my security. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's still here.
Well, you know, and that's, we had a, the, one of the, uh, one of the guests that I had on in the past. In fact, I think the podcast has just had her episode come up. We talked about what the value is of having a pacer, and what the role is, and having that person there to encourage you and, you know, remind you to eat and all of that. So
yeah, that's, I saw a lot of people out there at that race by themselves, and I would be scared to death just of the darkness alone. I would see women out there just, you know, you doing okay? Yeah, I'm okay. And I noticed like, oh, she's by herself. And they would just be trudging through. I wouldn't do that race by myself. I would have a pacer come in to pick me up at night, to the morning. I would not want to do any ultra at night by myself. I just don't feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, it's, you know, probably, you know, you wouldn't have the people problems, but it would be easy to get lost. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen when you're out there on the trail by yourself at night.
Especially when the brain, you look at stuff and like, what is that? Okay. You have to ask somebody else, what is that? Okay. But if you're out there by yourself, it's like, okay, is it friend or foe? Okay. And if it's dark, you can't see.
Right. Right.
And it could be a squirrel and you think it's a bear that's jumped out at you.
A friend of mine was, he saw a monkey in a tree. Oh, and he said, yeah, he stopped and he just fixated on it. It's like, this monkey's looking at it. But his pacer was able to say, yeah, no, that's not a monkey. We need to just keep on moving. Let's go. Don't get distracted.
Exactly. Man. Exactly. So, yeah, but it's all good. You know, it comes with the territory. And again, it's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So you said you're training for, is the 100 mile that you're looking at, is it still on or is it going to be for next year?
As far as I know, it's still on November 14th.
November 14th. Okay.
So I got 2 months to go, and until I will continue to train until they tell me that it's been canceled.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. The one I signed up for was supposed to be in 2 weeks, and it got canceled. And, so I deferred till next year, but yeah, so have you had other races that you were signed up for that were canceled?
Yeah, I had another one that's been, I took a, what do you call it? Deferred. They let us defer, and that's going to be next year. Two of them have been deferred to next year, and that's okay because all of those races were geared for the 100.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So it was just another way to get some miles and have some fun doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I'm concerned about Tunnel Hill in terms of training. It's just that there's another race. You heard of Hennepin, am I correct?
Yes, I've heard that. Hennepin.
So Hennepin's been canceled.
Okay. Okay.
Hennepin is in October.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, if Hennepin's been canceled and Tunnel Hill is 3.5 weeks afterwards, you know, so I wouldn't want to be a race director at this point in time.
Yeah. And I think it depends. I know there some people in my running group had, they went to it was one in Wyoming. I can't remember. Twisted Fork, I think.
Oh, never heard of that.
I may have the name wrong, but it was an ultra in Utah, and the race directors made made some adjustments in the way the race was done, and it went well and everything went smoothly, and they were able to managed and managed it well. In fact, you know, the people who ran said it was different. You know, there was some things that, you know, we're kind of disappointed because you can't, I mean, we're like social people. We love to be together, but the race was still fun. And so, but the, you know, it depends, just the each race director is, you know, kind of has a different outlook on the situation. And, right. And so, I think everyone's trying to just kind of struggle and, you know, try to figure out what's best. And then also the parks that they run in. Sometimes you can't get permits, or you can't get I know that's been an issue. So
that's the driving force. See, when people, what people need to understand, it's not the race, races act. And if that municipality says the race is not going to take place, if you, all your permits and everything, if that city locks down and says you guys can't have that race, the race director has to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of them, they wait like till the last, it seems like the last minute, but I heard that it's all due to insurance purposes and legality, mm-hmm. because if you cancel before you've been told you have to cancel, then you probably lose everything. If you've been told you need to cancel your race, that's a different take in terms of recuperating funds from what you've outlaid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so like I said, I would not want to be a race director right now. That would just be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And then I had a guest, Brian Hoover. He is he has a business, timing races, and so his business has dropped greatly as well. So exactly. So yeah, there's a lot of ripple effect going on with the races being canceled and with things are going on. So have you done any virtual races?
You know, I'm not really into virtual races.
Yeah.
I've paid so much money for this year's races. I just can't see paying for a race virtually that I run every day.
Right. Yeah. Because you're basically running the same route that you always run, right?
Exactly. So that's just, you know, I love the folks who are doing the I think the one for Tennessee.
Yeah. Across Tennessee. Yes.
I think there's one for Trails Over Texas. I think there's one of those. And had I not paid for any races this year and was looking for a race, maybe. Mm-hmm. But since I've paid and I can't run, I'm not going to pay again to run where I normally run, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's, we have a race that has that happens on the trails that I normally run. And I have talked to several people who don't enter those races because it's like, well, I run these trails all the time, and I don't, why would I pay to run? I mean, you have the experience, everybody else. I mean, there is the event to, you know, that's special. But she said, well, I can just volunteer and have the experience of being, you know, being around all the people. But she just didn't, you know, and I was like, yeah, I understand that totally. So,
yeah, I mean, it's great, but I mean, getting, you know, I love the buckles. Okay. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I was to receive a buckle from a virtual race, it would not be the same as receiving a buckle for the actual race itself. Again,
right.
This is my own personal opinion. I'm not knocking them. It's just not for me.
Mm-hmm. We had a guy from our local running club put together he's put together a virtual race, and then he's also put together an actual race. And it's not his actual race is just a run on rails to trails. And it's officially an informal gathering of people who happen to show up at the same time. So it's not, and we're all on our own, you know, self-supported.
Right.
But the virtual race he patterned after the Tour de France. Ah. So it's a 21-day stage race. And so we could choose the route, but we had a certain mileage we had to do each time. And some days it was what they call the mountain phase. So we had a certain amount of elevation along with the mileage to do. Everybody kept everything in a spreadsheet. It was all done by Strava times. So, you know, I don't know that he went and actually checked everybody's Strava times, but you post up your time and you enter that time on the spreadsheet that everybody has access to. And so that was the only virtual race I've done. Okay. And it was, I think we paid $10 to get in. So, you know, it was, that was a fun event for me. It just, so I don't know that I would, you know, I'm like you. I don't think if I were going to some sort of race, like a marathon or something like that, would normally be run on, normally be an event I would go to do that virtually. Yeah. I wouldn't have that much interest in it, but,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, That was one that I saw. I was like, yeah, it looked like fun. And I'm much like you. I'm a middle of the pack to back of the pack runner. So I just did it for the middle. did it for the fun of it. So
I'm a back of the pack girl.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you started at age 54. I think you're probably close to my age as running. Is that, have you given thought to, continuing, how long to continue?
Forever.
Your health. Forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just turned 63 on August 2nd. So,
okay.
You know, I have no qualms to saying my age. I'm 63 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can still run the miles that I do. Like I said, I'm not the fastest, but I can keep it going. You know, I'm in excellent shape. And so when people say they can't, I'm 63 years old. If you're younger than me, you have no excuses. And if you're older than me, you need to get your butt out there and go do something, okay? Because I look at people, and if people would just understand that your health is so hard to get it back when it goes astray. And I was fortunate enough to get mine back. I'm no longer on diabetic medication.
Okay. Yeah. That's something you'd said earlier. And I wondered if you had been able to avoid having to.
Well, I'm off the medication, and I have lost about 60 pounds now.
Okay.
And I'm vegan. You know, I made that choice 3 years ago, go vegan, mainly for health issues, but it has done such a transformation for my running in terms of bringing my weight down, inflammation. Like I say, this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is for me. And, you know, the main question is, you know, how do you get your protein? I don't want to hear it. Okay.
Yeah. Look, you can tell people to look it up. I mean, it's possible.
It's possible. Okay. And it's all about, you know, your lifestyle change. And when I made that change, you know, that's when things started kind of falling in place. And like I said, I have my health. I can run. And like I said, I'm not the fastest. My goal is not to be another Killian Jornet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jim Wansley, those are my people. Okay.
Yeah.
Love watching them, but no. I'm just a regular person who loves to run. I can run all day as long as my feet can carry me. And I plan to keep doing so until I'm up there in the pearly gates, and I had to ask St. Peter, you got a trail up here? Okay.
Yes. I am looking forward to that trail, those trails as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you gotta, which way on the plow do I turn? Okay. So
just, I'm curious about about vegan along with type 2 diabetes. How do you do as far as handling the carbs and the, you know, because I think, you know, vegan is probably a higher carb than what, the reason I ask is I have a friend who is type 2 diabetic, and she's on insulin, but she controls her blood sugar by limiting carbs. And so she's basically on the keto diet, which is, what's that?
I'm plant-based.
So Sonia, so with plant-based, does that add carbs to your?
I mean, very minimal. I mean, you know, I've learned things about vegetables I didn't even know exist. Because if you would have taken me back, if I'm 63, and take me back to the time I was 10, say broccoli to me, I'd jump on the other side of the roof. Okay, I didn't grow up eating vegetables. Okay.
Right.
So I had to learn how to incorporate them in my daily diet. So I lived on broccoli forever because I thought that was the only thing that existed.
Uh-huh.
And then that's the only thing I liked because I didn't step out that box to go learn how to eat other things. And then when I start researching, I'm like, oh, you can make that with this and do this with that. You know, so I mean, I don't overboard on the carbs, never have. So it's never an issue.
That wasn't really an issue for you then.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And people, how do you give up cheese? I let it go. Never been a milk person, so I didn't really care about the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on eggs. So it really wasn't that much of adjustment for me, but it was just learning how to be without that meat component for dinner.
Right. Right.
And then when I learned how to start making things with lentils and beans and different soups and the salads and different lettuces that I didn't know that existed, and, you know, grilled sweet potatoes and grilled eggplant, just different. Mm-hmm. Whoa. So, yeah, I kind of like flipped the script and found another way to eat, another way to cook. It's just a different mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I found out it was helping me run better and, you know, losing the weight, you know, I'll never be a Halle Berry, but, you know, I've never been what I call a stick figure. I got curves. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got curves. And, but they need to be kind of curved. Okay. They don't need to be curved. Okay. And, but the main thing is to be healthy. You know, the older you get, you don't need that extra fat around your heart. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't need that fat around your middle. Okay. And, you know, your body works harder when it's heavier, at least in my case. Mm-hmm. And now that I can tell the difference that I've lost the weight, I still have some more to go, but I feel totally, I can go farther. When I find, oh, I can run farther because I don't have the weight. Oh, let me take off another 5 pounds. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it works for me. It's not for everybody.
Right. Yeah. And cause I know there, I've talked to people who are on the keto, you know, they run and they call themselves fat adapted. And so they have almost no carbs and they're almost entirely meat. In fact, there's a guy that I'm familiar with. He calls himself carnivore. He doesn't eat vegetables at all. And he did that and lost a lot of weight. It's like everybody has their different way of approaching it.
And it's all about balance.
Yeah. You know? And what works for you. So
what works for you. Exactly. Yeah. All about individuality. So what works for me may not even work for another vegan. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the same thing.
Suzanne asks, will you do a 200 miler?
Man, you're killing me. Okay. I won't say no. I just say not now. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
If it's anything's possible, who knows? I may get an itch and have to decide to scratch that. Okay. So I have enough friends who I could probably rope in to get them to do it with me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm willing to try anything once. Okay. So, but even training for a 50 takes time. Training for 100 takes even a lot of more time. I mean, I'm running 5 days a week, and it's mm-hmm. just when I went from 3 days to 4 days to 5 days, you know, it like, you know, your weekend is shot when you're running a long run. And mm-hmm. I run back to back long days, Saturday and Sundays. So it's like my break is Monday and Friday. So I look forward to Monday and Friday. That means I don't have to get up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm up, but I don't have mm-hmm. to go out. Okay. And, but yeah, I'll never say never. That's what I said about the 100.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I'll never say never.
She says, I bet you will in a couple of years. So, I guess the question is, the question for her is, will you pace? Will she be your pacer?
Exactly. There you go, Suzanne. I can't hear you. So yeah.
Crew and pacing. Yes.
Crew and pacing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not out of the reach. I mean, again, who knows?
Yeah, I never say never. You know, I'm kind of in the same spot. It's like, yeah, I like the 100 mile distance. I like it because of the challenge and the fact that it demands a lot. I mean, it demands you to give your best and to give. And so, you know, that's kind of enough for me right now, but the 200 mile intrigues me. It's like, you know, the multi-day, you know, can you sleep for 4 hours and get up and go and do another 50 miles, you know,
exactly.
that's a whole other level of challenge. I'm like, wow. You know,
I have a friend who did the multi-day. It's the big one. I can't think of the name of it. It's,
The Moab 240?
No, it's not Moab.
Tahoe 200?
You sleep in the tents and then you pack your stuff up. They take you to the next location.
Oh, okay. No, that's a different one that I've seen. The one I've seen is like it's like 100 mile, except, I mean, you got the crew and everything and aid stations and.
Yeah, the one she did is not cheap. We're talking like $2,000. That's just.
That's the thing. 200 milers are expensive. The ones I've heard of, you've seen their fee to just to enter is, you know, $1,200 or so.
And right. So no, I need to win the lottery to do 200 or take up a GoFundMe page. Okay. So
now when I was looking at races for this year, I saw one, I can't remember where it was. I think it was in Tennessee. And I'm trying to remember the name of it, but I think it was a 96 hour loop course. I mean, that was one of the options.
Okay.
So it would, you could get probably close to, you know, that's getting in close to the same kind of cutoff times as some of the 200s that I've seen. I think maybe there may be a little bit more than that, but it's still, it was a,
96 hours.
Yeah. They had tiers. 96 was the longest. And I think they had I can't remember. It could have been a 70 hour, and then 36, and then 24, and then 12. So, and it was a 2 mile loop.
Oh, see, I'd be fool enough to try that. I know. Then if my friends are watching, they're probably like, okay, she's really gone. Okay. Yeah. 2 mile loop. You got a crew there who can help you get in and out your clothes, your shoes, your food. Yeah. You know, your job is just to run those loops, okay? And depending on the terrain, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you could just, you know, you might have something there.
Yeah. Okay? Now, I may be wrong in the distance. It may be a 4 mile loop, but it was short. I mean, it was like, you know, you'd hardly have to carry a hydration pack. You could just take a, you know, a water bottle on a belt and, run fairly light.
Well, you don't have to have
your food would be, you know, you wouldn't have to carry food. I mean, you know, maybe some electrolytes and exactly. I almost signed up for that. It was just like, well, not the 96 hour. I was thinking of doing 36 hours and I think there was another one I read about that was somebody talked about. It was a 48 hour race, a 48 hour timed.
That sounds like the last man standing. You know, they do those races too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, the last man standing, I don't run fast enough to do that. I'd be out the first, you know, the first loop, you know, I could maybe do it in an hour. And then the second time around is like, no, this is it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I find those very interesting. Yeah. I don't have to speak. Yeah.
Now, if they made it for, you know, a longer cutoff time for some of us who are like the back of the Packers, I mean, that could be an interesting, yeah. Across the Years Ultra is one that Richard just talked about. That's down, if I remember right, that's down in Phoenix. I know a woman who's talked about that.
What is it called? Across the Years?
Across the Years Ultra. Yeah, it starts at the end of December and you run into the January. It's a multi-day.
Oh.
It's in Phoenix. I don't know if it's going to be held this year, but but it's far enough away in time that might be. I'll have to think about that too. That's see if I talk to my wife. And we just Hawaii, we were planning on going to Hawaii, and since all of the stuff with the state government and restrictions for tourism there, we just canceled our trip. I'm like, and that was supposed to be February. I was like, maybe I could convince her to go to Phoenix.
You don't know how that goes, okay?
Yeah, I'll see. She may send me on my own. I know.
Oh,
that's a good idea. I'll have to look into that. The Across the Years Ultra. I
just wrote it down because I want to go. Now I got to go see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have the 100 on your radar. Have you looked ahead into next year at all, or you just been focusing on training for this year?
Two races that have been moved to next year.
Okay.
So those got to be need to be taken care of. So,
okay.
And once those are out, and once I find out when they are, so like my training will never stop. You know, after the tunnel heal, it'll probably go down a little bit just to rest a bit. But after that, you know, I'll probably keep the double digits on the weekend. So the body knows where to go. And provided I can still run, depending on the weather here. But you know me, I run all the time, it doesn't matter. And so, yeah, I always want to, I used to say, I always half marathon ready. So now I always, after the races, I want to be probably like a 50K ready.
Okay. Okay. So I lost some of the audio there in just a minute. Just a bit. You talked about cold, and I know I've seen your Facebook posts. So you run no matter what the weather, right? And you run outside. You don't run on the treadmill. You run outside, right?
I don't own a treadmill. I don't have a gym membership. I'm outside.
Okay. So only time
we don't go is when it's like it's bad overnight, because we run. You know, when we run in the wintertime, it's pitch black out there. You can't see.
Yeah. And you run, you said, yeah, crack of dawn, but in the wintertime, it's dark when you run.
There's no crack of anything. Okay. It's not even light when we get back. Okay. And so unless there's like an ice storm or a huge storm the night before, we get up, we get out there and we do it. Yak tracks, whatever you have, light gear on. Headlamp and the gloves and, you know, the Vaseline.
You bundle up. Yeah. And you live in the Windy City too. So there's probably a wind chill factor that's going on as well.
And we run on the lakefront. Those pictures are all along the lakefront. And that's, you know, that's what we do. And it can be like, why are we out here? but you know, to me, once you get going and the blood starts pumping, then it's okay. Now, some mornings that blood doesn't pump. Okay. I'm like, it's like, you know, you're trying to hit it to make it unthaw.
Yeah. So what's the coldest you've run in?
I don't know. I think my run buddy, she's the weather guru. So I think if it's like a minus 15, we don't go too much around that. Because I mean, all seriousness, you know, you're breathing in your lungs. You had to be very careful with that. So, and I breathe through my mouth. So you're constantly sucking air in like that. So you had to be very, very careful with that. And then frostbite, you know, hypothermia, you got to keep all that in mind. But yeah, we'll go. Well, I ran into blizzard, you know, we couldn't even see, and we're out there. Monsoon, running the rain. Yeah. I'm out there.
So how do you, I guess those, we'll have to wrap up here in just a minute, but so how do you keep yourself? I mean, we've talked a little bit about the mindset for continuing on in a race. How do you keep yourself going in those kinds of conditions?
Well, I mean, I figure if I make the decision to go out there, you got to do it. There's nobody telling me that I have to go. So I make the decision, I'm going to run out there. You do it. You know, people talk about motivation and everything, but you have to have it within you. It's great to have somebody inspire you, but if you don't want to do it, all the motivation in the world is not going to get you out there. And again, it's my lifestyle. It's what I do. Now, sometimes the weather tends to be a barrier. I can't help that. If I can still manage it, I do. I'm not stupid. I do not run in lightning. Okay. I don't see Jesus that quick. Okay. And if the gale force winds, if we got, you know, 35, 40 mile hour winds, that's not safe. I'm not saying I can't get through the wind, but I don't want a tree limb impaling me. Okay. You know, a little bit of common sense goes a long way, but if it's just elements, you know, I can rain, it's water. Okay. Ice pellets. Okay. They may sting a little bit, but you know, it's still doable. But, I always look at it. If you're on race day and any of those issues happen, you won't freak out. Your brain is like, okay, we've been in this before. We can do this. So I believe in treat it if this happens on race day, everybody else is complaining about it raining. I'm ready. I'm at the start line. Let's go.
That's a great answer to that is make the decision to do it and then just do it. Don't argue yourself out of your decision.
Right. If I look out the window, I'm like, dang, it's pouring out there. And I put it on my cap, you know, put it on my rain gear if I have it. And you just go. If it's snowing, I look out the window, yak tracks are probably already at the back door. You put them on and you just go. We just go. And I live by the Doppler, you know. I probably look at the Doppler more than I do a text, okay? Because if it's inclement weather tonight, the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is look at the radar to see what we're looking at. If they say rain is supposed to come in.
Not to decide whether you're gonna go or not, but to decide what clothing to wear, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see how far the lightning strikes are, okay?
Right.
Can I run in between?
Yeah. Well, lightning is no joke. There was a runner killed in one of the races last year from lightning. He was just a half a mile from the finish.
That was so sad because his wife and Kit were waiting for him at the finish line. That's no joke. Mm-mm.
But it's like he was already out and was trying to get back, and it's one of those things that you can't. It's hard to know when you're out.
Well, yeah, if you're out,
do I keep going or not? And
but to consciously go out in it.
Yeah.
You need to rethink that. Okay. But if I'm out there running and it starts thundering and lightning, I can't, like, can you put that on hold? I got 2 miles to go. It doesn't work like that. Okay?
Yeah. You still have to get back to your car, but yeah.
Exactly.
But if it's already doing it, don't be stupid and go out.
And go out in it. Exactly. Exactly. So, right. Within reason.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Well, Isla, thank you so much for being here. I really have enjoyed getting to know you and hearing your stories.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, your Facebook posts have always inspired me. So I knew the conversation was going to be a good one. So so thank you. And this will be up on my Facebook page. My Facebook page is the Ultra Marathon Mindset. And so this live will be, and the podcast is running probably about several weeks, probably 4 weeks or so later, just because I did a podcast before, and I didn't want to have to be like scrambling trying to find some. So I waited until I have several of the past episodes waiting for the podcast. So podcast will be a little bit farther down the road, but it will get up, and I'll notify you when that goes live.
Okay. Whoever's listening, whoever chimed in, thank you so much.
Thank you. I think you brought a lot of people you know in, and I appreciate that. So, Suzanne says, awesome job. Thank you for all of you who are friends of Isla and being here. And if you are new here, this Trail Talk. Try to do this with different guests every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time. The podcast is also Ultra Marathon Mindset Trail Talk, wherever you find podcasts. So you don't have to be sitting in front of your computer watching the video to hear to hear the conversations. You can take it with you. Isla, people can find you on people can find you on Facebook, So if you're in any running group, you'll probably see Isla posting about her runs and whatever. And the thing I always love is that what you're dressed for the weather. I mean, all of your posts, I was like, I can always tell you, like, you're dressed for the weather. That in itself is inspiring. So thank you again. I will look forward to watching your adventures, and I hope that your 100-mile race comes off, and And I hope that you post that when this is going on, and that you're going to do that, so we can be rooting for you. So
alrighty.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Trail Talk. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you do like the show, please remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on anything new. You can find us on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com or on Facebook. The Facebook group is Ultramarathon Mindset. And you can find me on Instagram under my name, Eric Dieter. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.